today we have this beautiful feast of the Holy Family. I think it's a good time to celebrate the Holy Family because we've just spent time with our families, most of us, over these holidays. Most of us have seen our families and we've experienced the inevitable good times and, of course, some of the challenges in dealing with each other in the family. I just spent a memorable Christmas with my sister and her family of 13 children and 40 grandchildren. I hadn't spent that much time at Christmas with a family for quite a few years. Usually after all the masses, I would just simply go back to the rectory, kind of escape for a time and in my solitude and take a real nice nap. And I imagine a lot of priests do the same. It's not that we don't like being with families. It's just that we get a little tired after several masses and all the busyness of this season. But at the same time, it's good for priests to have some kind of a family. Usually that means the parish family. That becomes, for the priest, a kind of family. I lived most of my priesthood in Oklahoma, far from my family, which was from Ohio. What is it about the family that we think of the family as the very cell of society itself? And without strong families, we believe society will definitely suffer. The family is the basic building block of any society. And if we wish to have a Catholic culture, we need to have very strong Catholic families. But then when you ask yourself, what constitutes a strong Catholic family? First of all, I would say a strong Catholic family is a family that shares the idea that each and every member of the family is important. When someone is having a hard time or is suffering from some physical or maybe mental problem, a strong Catholic family should come together, offering support. We know, all of us know of families that are fragmented, that are broken through divorce and through separation, and how painful that is. We would like to have a family that enjoys praying together and being together, like at these holidays. A Catholic family needs to have some kind of a model of what a Catholic family should be like. And that is where we look to the Holy Family of Nazareth. That family shows us that working together, living together, praying together, and sharing each other's joys and sorrows, that's what God intends for the family. St. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says it very beautifully. He calls the people God's chosen ones and describes them as ideally holy and beloved. And then he proceeds to tell them that they have to put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. He says, bear with one another and forgive one another. Those are definitely the qualities that should be there in any Catholic family, engendering those kind of virtues. And then St. Paul tells them that if one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must do also. To me, when I hear confessions, especially at this time of the year, I am very painfully aware of how difficult it can be sometimes to truly forgive some member of the family that has hurt us. And sometimes it is years and years of holding on to the hurt and anger and having a hard time really forgiving the other person from the heart. I think St. Paul, he must surely have been aware of this in his community, and that's why he said, over all these virtues, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. Without love, you can't really have any real unity, no real peace in the family. Of course, no family is perfect. But it was into a family that Jesus, the eternal Word, the Son of God, was born. This should tell us that the family is very important in the eyes of God. It should also inspire us to work toward a family in which there is forgiveness, in which there is bearing with one another, in others' weaknesses, and refusing to give in to jealousy or envy or the holding of grudges or unforgiveness. So each year, our church, gives us this Feast of the Holy Family to remind us to work toward the healing and mercy and peace that every family should possess. I think a family becomes truly holy when there is a spirit of gratitude and love prevalent among the members. Surely there are challenges, and the evil one will try to sow the seed of division and dissension within the family, but we must resist his tricks. Sister Lucia of Fatima said that the last great battle will be waged against the family. The devil will try to destroy the family and married life. But to help us, we have the intercession of the Mother of God, and she urges us to pray our daily rosary in our domestic church, which is the home. And we have the powerful assistance of Saint Joseph, who watched over the Holy Family and watches over our families when we ask him to. And of course, we have our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He knows what it is like to maintain peace and love within the family. And we have, of course, the assistance of the holy angels and all the saints. So God does not abandon us to our own devices. He continually offers us the family of the church to support us in our efforts to create truly holy families. When the family is holy, the society itself will be stronger and will resist those things that tend to take away from the inherent dignity of the human person. And I think you all know what I mean. On this pilgrimage of faith, when we are weary from the struggles we have, then God gives us the bread of eternal life, the manna from heaven that nourishes our souls, makes us strong so we can travel on. And on a practical level, we have that wonderful sacrament which I mentioned, confession, in which we can confess our failures, our weaknesses, and be forgiven and encouraged to try again to live like we should as good Catholics. So may this day dedicated to the Holy Family remind us that God's plan is that our own families become truly holy. Blessings upon each and every one of you and your family.